Give you a praise report before I start. My grandson Chris called on Friday. He says, prayer alert, prayer alert. And I couldn't make out what he was saying because he was all nerved up. And I said, what? What are you trying to tell me? Prayer alert, we need prayer alert. I said, what's up? He says, my friend just got taken to the hospital in Palmer, and he is being brought to Worcester by helicopter because he's in the middle of a heart attack. Now, Joe is the young man that has the jewelry shop in Palmer, loves the Lord, two little girls, a wife, and now incredible terrible chest pains, could not function. So obviously, not only did we have an alert, but we prayed. And my grandson, when I got done, I could see, because don't forget, for Chris, when we're talking about a prayer alert, he lost his best friend at 21 years old from alcohol abuse and alcohol poisoning. Now, when you go to the morgue and you see a 21-year-old laid out there because he overdid with a drug, it is not a pretty sight. And if it happens to be your best friend, and he called you and wanted you to go with him that night, and you refused because you had other things to do, the guilt is absolutely unbearable. But then the next level comes, because now you've lost your best friend, and you've got a new best friend, and Joe and him are very, very good friends, and they go out. They've been going to church together. They've been going to Bible study together. They do things together as families. The girls are very close in age. Of course, I've known Joe since he was this high. And, of course, Christopher from the moment he was conceived. What am I saying? There was not only a prayer alert, there was a scream for a miracle. We called them the Lord. About 7 hours later, he was already in Worcester with Joe's wife, along with a couple of other friends. They call back. The only explanation they could come up with was that the doctor at Wing Memorial Hospital must have been not well, because they must have read the EKG wrong, because there's nothing wrong with this man.
Hallelujah.
How many of you have ever seen the EKG tape machine?
Yeah.
It prints. It doesn't disappear in 2 minutes. The doctor wasn't crazy. They don't pay for a helicopter to leave Palmer to go to Worcester because somebody's nuts. So what's the missing link? A prayer alert! So the doctors in Worcester said, we can't let him go home because it don't make sense. So they kept him overnight. That makes sense. The rest is history. To God be the glory. So if you need a miracle, go and get some gold at the... I'm trying to think of the name. Master's Touch on Main Street in Palmer. Also, we got a prayer. Thank you. Dear House of Prayer and Family, thank you so much for the very generous gift card. Your love, prayers, and support are also very appreciated during this challenging time. It's all good, with a big smiley. Love, the Chica family, with hugs and kisses, and I'm keeping those for me. Nothing selfish here, huh? I want you to go to Nehemiah chapter 1. Father, I need your help, because without you, this is going to sound absolutely needless. But with you, it'll come to life and they'll get to see a little bit of God's plan. I'm going to go kind of fast on the word because there's a lot of reading, but there's a purpose in what I'm doing. If you don't have an NIV Bible, I would suggest you just close your eyes and listen and let the words come in. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah. In the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, "Those who survived the exile are back in the province and are in great trouble and disgrace. The walls of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire." When I heard these things, I sat down and I wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, now watch these words, "O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant with love, of love, with those who love him and obey his commands. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayers of your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you." Did you hear the way he spoke? The way he prayed, he was including himself along with his fathers and his grandfathers who had made bad choices. Verse 7, "We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave us." We have not obeyed, I'm sorry, "the commands and decrees and laws you gave us, your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, 'If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even in your exile, people are at the farthest horizon. I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name.'" Notice again, it is he praying that God will have a chosen place for his name. "They are your servants, your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand." So who brought you salvation? Who brought you to where you are today? Who brought you here today? It was the mighty hand of the Lord. It was his strength that did it. And we are what? Redeemed. Bought back out of slavery. Verse 11. "O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayers of your servant and to the prayer of your servant who delights in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man." What is he asking for? He's asking for favor. He's asking for what? Success. When? Today. How many of you need success? Today, not next year. How many of you need favor? Today. How many of you have asked for favor? "Oh, well, maybe I'll think about it for a couple of months." Well, enjoy your trip on your own. And I'm being facetious. The next verse is very, very important. "I was cupbearer to the king." Now, what's a cupbearer but literally a glorified slave job? You don't make big bucks by bringing a king a cup of wine. You probably get food and clothes and a little corner to sleep in. Would you say that you would qualify to be a cupbearer for somebody's king? You should be. All right? To me, that's a very low job. So this fits in for those who think of yourself as lowly. Watch chapter 2, verse 1. "In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Ataraxes, when wine was brought for him, I took wine and gave it to the king." So that shows you he's really a servant. Amen? I had not been sad in his presence before. So the king asked me, why does your face look so sad when you are not? This can be nothing but sadness of the heart. I was very much afraid, but I said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my fathers are buried lies in ruin, and its gates have been destroyed by fire? Verse 4, very important. The king said to me, what is it you want? Has he asked for anything? Favor comes when you least expect it. He's doing his little job. He's serving the king the cup of wine. And the king says, what do you want? Watch again. He doesn't act and react. He prays. Then I prayed to the God of heaven and I answered the king. If it please the king, if your servant has found favor in your sight, let him send me to the city of Judah where my fathers are buried so that I can rebuild it. Did he give the job to somebody else? Did he think of himself as unworthy? Did he think of himself as a nothing? No, he knew who he was serving. He wasn't going on his own steam. He was going in the favor and God's grace would supply whatever he needed. Amen? Amen? Then the king with the queen sitting beside him asked him, how long will your journey take and when will you get back? It pleased the king to send me, so I set a time. Isn't that cool? I also said to him, if it pleased the king, may I have letters to the governor of the Trans-Euphrates so that they will provide a safe conduct until I arrive in Judah. And may I have a letter to Asaph, keeper of the king's forest, so he will give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel, by the temple, and for the city wall, for the residence I will occupy. And because the gracious hand of God was upon me, listen again, because the gracious hand of my God was upon me, the king granted my request. So I went to the governors of the Trans-Euphrates and gave them the king's letters. The king had also sent army officers and cavalry with me. So he even got a bonus. He didn't ask for any of these things. He got them because of God's hand and favor and mercy and grace. Amen? Verse 11. I went to Jerusalem, and after staying there 3 days, I set out during the night with a few men. I had not told anyone what my God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. In other words, this guy was so smart, he kept his mouth shut. No kidding. I mean, doesn't that give you a lesson in life? Sometimes you got to shut up. Amen? I mean, I'm not blaming anybody. I know how much of a blabbermouth I can be. But I'm trying to give you a heads up. Wake up. It's time to shut your mouth about God's plans for you. Especially in front of those that are unbelievers. Because you know what? They'll drive you nuts. Amen. Amen. So shut up. A little wisdom is shut up. Tell nobody the God's plans until he speaks to you. Amen? Amen? There were no mouths with me except the one I was riding on. In other words, he talked to the horse, but he didn't trust the horse either. Oh, man. Take a lesson from Nehemiah. By night, I went out through the valley gate towards the jackals. Well, and began the dung gate, examining the walls of Jerusalem, which had been broken down, and its gates, which had been destroyed by fire. Then I moved on towards the fountain gate and the king's pool, but there was not enough room for my mount to get through. In other words, very skinny space. So I went up to the valley by night, examining the wall. Finally, I turned back and re-entered through the valley gate. The officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing, because as yet, I had said nothing to the Jews or the priests or the nobles or officials or any others who would be doing the work. In other words, you don't have to tell the neighborhood what God's plan is for you. Verse 17 is sweet. Then I said to them, "You see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace." I also told them about the gracious hand of God upon me. Look at your neighbor. Say, God's hand's upon me too. It is a gracious hand. Filled with compassion and grace and mercies, including for you. Hallelujah. Again, the gracious hand of God is upon me and what the king had said to me. They replied, "Let us start rebuilding." So they began the good work. But when Sanballat, the Horonite, Tobiah, an Ammonite, officials from Geshem, the Arab, heard about it, they mocked and ridiculed us. "What is this you are doing?" they asked. "Are you rebelling against the king?" I answered them by saying, "The God of heaven will give me success," or give us success. "We, his servants, will start rebuilding. But as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim or historic right to it." I rest my case. If you and your family have been commissioned of God to do a work for him, then do it! Don't blab it to the neighbors. They're not commissioned to do what you were commissioned to do. Do it! You know the little Nike sign? I got some on my sneakers. Do it! Don't hesitate. Do the job. Whose hand is upon you? Those of you who mean business, I want you to stand right now. Put your Bibles down. Just stand up. Remember last week I gave you the word? When you hear the word, just do the word. Today I want you to go a little higher. I want you to look at the neighbor and look them in the eye, because the prayer of agreement is the most important. Okay? Look them in the eye, say, "We are in agreement.
We are in agreement.
That it's time
to rebuild
everything God wants us to build. It's not next week.